Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA, FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.
He kicks. Here's the pitch. Swing and a drive. Right field coming on. Beatty, he will make the catch. Chest high, and that ends the ball game. He hit it on the nose, but he hit it right at the right fielder, Brett Beatty. And that ends the ball game.
This close to a magical finish, well, semi-magical finish at CBP tonight, as the Phillies may never hit a walk-off home run ever again. It has been over 3 years since the Phillies have hit a walk-off home run. It has been longer since they hit a walk-off home run where they were behind in the ballgame. The one against the Dodgers that Schwarber hit, that was a tie ballgame. People forget that. The last one that they have hit behind in a ballgame was Garrett Stubbs off of Tanner Scott in 2022. What are we talking about? That was before they went to the World Series. That's how long it's been since they've hit a walk-off home run where they are trailing in the baseball game. It's crazy. Every streak they have, you know, David Bell's thing lasted forever. This thing lasting forever. You would think you could luck into a walk-off home run, but they can't. It is the final out, by the way, which is sponsored by the Philadelphia Parking Authority, offering valet park at the Philadelphia Airport. Jack Fritz hanging out with you on this Thursday night as we react to a 6-4 Mets win, as the Mets, who have had a struggle of a season so far, slowly starting to play better baseball. You certainly don't want to be, you don't want to let them get hot, but they come in tonight, Phil's offense kind of shuts down, and they steal a game one, and there's a lot to get to, and we'll get into it. The game wrap-up is sponsored by Roto-Rooter. When plumbing problems hit, wrap them up quick and call Roto-Rooter. Their team tackles clogs and leaks so you can stay in the game. Roto-Rooter, your MVP for plumbing solutions. 215-592-9494. If you were at the game, it was a beautiful night for a ball game, a great CBP sunset, and I'm sure you are stuck in traffic. So if you're stuck in traffic, get on in and give me your takeaways on this one. 215-592-9494. But let's get to the biggest takeaways of the game, which are brought to you by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. And there's a couple things that kind of hit me immediately after that game. The biggest one is of the laundry list of issues this team has. You know, they're playing good baseball. I think we all have accepted that they're a pretty good team. I don't think they're a great team, but they are a pretty good team. We have accepted some of their flaws. They currently don't have a fifth starter. They currently don't have a right fielder. And we could talk about Aaron Nola as being a part of that as well, although I think Nola pitched well tonight. We'll get into that a little bit more later. Well, on top of those two clear and obvious needs that they need to address the trade deadline if they are going to win the World Series, is they desperately need to find a leverage lefty, because Jose Alvarado is donezo. He is donezo. Heading into that game tonight, a 1.64 whip on the year. The guy lives with base runners on, and you're just playing with fire the more and more that you do that kind of stuff. So he's not striking out guys at the same clip. He's walking more guys. Lefties are hitting, I think, 400 now off of him. Heading into tonight, it was 395, and he allowed a hit to a lefty, which not great for a leverage lefty reliever, is lefties smoking the baseball off of you. So, you know, Kyle Backus seems like he is close. He was pitching really well before he got hurt, to his credit. Maybe he can work his way into being something. But we talk about the needs on this team if they're going to go on a run. Well, you got to add leverage lefty to that, because the guy that they are tasking with it is not getting the job done, and I don't think will get the job done. You know, his ERA has to be in the high fives or sixes now. The whip is super high, not striking out guys at the same clip. And tonight was ridiculous, you know, in a night where the way Andrew Painter pitched yesterday, you had to use a lot of guys. It ended up being a closer game, so for at least a little bit there. So you had to use some of your dudes. And, well, I guess it got kind of out of hand within enough time to where they could have. Regardless, the way Andrew Painter pitched yesterday forced them to use a lot of their bullpen arms. And tonight, you get that Seth Johnson inning, which was great. Alvarado is one of your guys, and he's the guy that blows up. Bryce Wilson threw two scoreless after that. Alvarado is your guy and one of your leverage arms, and he is not a leverage arm right now. So, you know, with Banks struggling this year, Mays is fine, but I do think he is a fifth, sixth inning, or God forbid a Painter start where he has to come in the third. I don't know about him in leverage spots. Now, what I will say about Mesa versus Alvarado, and maybe this is something they consider, is I do think Mesa isn't afraid of moments. And not that Alvarado is. I just think he ever knows where the baseball's going. Mesa, at least, I do trust more often than not to come in and have stones and make pitches and throw strikes. It's not always going to work, because it's not like his stuff is overwhelming. His stuff's pretty good. But at least I think he's going to come in and throw strikes. So the Alvarado thing is annoying. I wonder if Crawford could have made a play on that ball. It looked like he overran it a little bit and misjudged it. So that obviously could have helped Alvarado out. The Marcus Semien, you know, play there where they overturn the strikeout and immediately it's a triple off the wall stinks. But even so, even if he gets through that, it's more traffic on the base paths and another lefty getting a hit off him. They're going to need to find someone that can do that job. Maybe it's Backus, you know, Backus Mesa. That's your lefties for a little bit here as they try to salvage something from the Alvarado situation. But, man, he seems done. I mean, they gave him $9 million this year coming off of last year where he was amazing, but who knows what he was on, and then he came back after that, and he was horrendous. So incredibly, incredibly disappointing in a game that really could have gone either way and one that kind of felt like they were going to win. It did, and then the Alvarado inning happened, and it certainly did not seem that way. 215-592-9494. And then the other thing is just, you know, once again, the offense, the offense sort of goes lifeless after the fourth, and they allowed Manaea to settle in, and the Mets bullpen, they did their job. They didn't get a hit from the fourth inning on until the Crawford base hit in the ninth. I think they walked three times in between those innings, but still pretty much packed their bags and went home, and that's really annoying. And Harper is certainly going through a really bad slump right now. I think last 30 games he's hitting under 190. You know, tonight, which feels like it happens once a game, he hits a ball and a guy makes a great play on it. You know, Soto makes that play and robs him of a double. So, but still, you know, the overall numbers are the overall numbers. He looks a little bit jumpy at the plate. I guess the good part is, like, I think in years past, you could see if the wrist was affecting him. It doesn't really look like that right now, but when he's struggling, and like, him and Schwarber are just so key to this offense being able to put up runs. And when one of those guys are struggling or both of them are struggling, the entire offense certainly feels like they're struggling. And Harper is going through certainly a rut right now. He's still walking, which is good, but you need some impact, and he is not providing much impact. I think his slugging percentage is in like the threes during that time period. So certainly cooling off after he got hot and really helped raise all of his numbers. I think after the Toronto series, if you took out the first six games of the year, he was hitting .287 with a 900 OPS. So again, it's been a pretty quick decline now to a 248 average, but he is certainly struggling. And then the last thing here before you go to the phones is I thought Nola was pretty good tonight. The Soto home runs were annoying. The second one was crazy. He didn't think he got it and just kept going and going and going. I mean, he's a special player, so that happens. But I thought for the most part, you know, the command was better. The velocity was ticking up. He did throw a slider, which I've never seen him throw before. So maybe he's working on some new pitches. But I didn't think this was – I mean, we have to be resigned to the fact that he's a five-inning pitcher now because he can't really attack the strike zone in the same way. So he's got to just pitch around the strike zone and hope that, you know, hitters chase and make weak contact. Or because when he comes in the strike zone, like what happened with Soto, you know, talented hitters don't really miss it. But overall, I thought it was – a fine Nola. Like, you would take five innings, three runs from Aaron Nola at this point. And it could have been enough to win a ball game, but ultimately it was not. Let's go to David Maryland. What's happening, Dave?
Oh, geez. The Alvarado mess in the bullpen is starting to really rear its ugly head. I mean, it's a sick over six ERA halfway through the year, and that's your top left-handed option. That's not... Yeah. Not a good thing. I mean, you just keep on adding to the list of things that they need at the trade deadline. Left-handed pitcher, right fielder, back-end starter. You know, it's getting to the point where they're putting bubble gum on holes, and they're one real injury away from being in trouble, whether it be a key bat like Harper, Schwarber, or one of the three, you know, reliable starters. They're just a tonight and last night, or yesterday, reminded me of the 9-19 Phillies. They just didn't really feel like they were in. I just felt like they were beaten tonight and beaten yesterday, and not much you can do about it, honestly.
Yeah, and I appreciate the phone call, Dave. Yeah, yesterday was disheartening. Tonight really felt like a coin flip. It did. I liked the way that they fought back, and the Derek Hill off the bag was a good little moment. But you know, Dave's right when talking about they've been pretty lucky injury wise. Now Trey, I don't know how if this would constitute lucky, but you know, Trey leaves with the calf thing, so we'll see if he's back in there on Saturday. I would assume he would be, but they've gotten pretty lucky with the injury history, and especially with the starting staff, knock on wood. I think it's one of the things that Cotham does so well is developing a plan for these guys where they have a really good arm care routines to where they haven't really gotten hurt, and that's been integral to their success. 215-592-9494 to get in. On the other side, we'll get to the player of the game and some other things that stuck out tonight. All that's coming up next here on The Final Out on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really. Or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom! One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really?
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Swing and a high fly ball, right field, it's deep. Marsh is back and looking up and out of room, it is gone. And that one hit off the second deck signage. For Juan Soto, his 17th lifetime home run in this ballpark. And he has given the Mets an early 1-0 lead.
I tell you what, I don't like the trend of the last two games of left-handed hitters just peppering the second deck, smoking balls off the wall of the second deck. It's not been a good 2 days for some of the Phillies pitchers, and Juan Soto has always made that ballpark feel small. I think Fransky said he jumped to fourth all time in home runs against the Phillies at CBP, and I think Harper is still ahead of him. And Harper obviously hasn't played against the Phillies in 7 years. Obviously, he killed them when he was a National. But Juan Soto is our player of the game, brought to you by South Jersey Gas. Make the smart play and save energy and money with South Jersey Gas at sjgsaveenergy.com. I don't know if this is relatable for anyone else out there, but it is so funny, you know, with this team, because when they lose, and they lose like they did tonight, where Alvarado serves it up and the offense looks lifeless and some of the big guys are struggling, I always am just like, I can't wait for this era to be over. I need new blood in here. This sucks. And then whenever they win, it's like, these guys are my guys and they deserve a ring. There's been a couple games this year. The Brewers game that Sunday with Kyle Harrison just making the Phillies look like little leaguers. That was one of those where it's just like, this sucks. I can't wait for this group to be out of here. And then they smoked the Marlins the first two games, and you're like, we might have something here. And then the last two games happen, you're like, nope, they're not very good. I don't know. I think that's just being a baseball fan. You got to be a real sick and twisted person to make this your favorite sport and like really, really care about it, because there's so much failure in it. The highs are very, very high. But man, there's just wrapping yourself up in a sport where the best players fail 7 out of 10 times. You know, the TV broadcast tonight had George Brett and Schmitty on there. And of course, Schmidt's like, I wasn't even a good hitter the whole time. And, you know, Brett's on there and he's like, yeah, I got 3,000 hits, but I also made 7,000 outs. And it's just, that's baseball. It's such a cruel game. And no better example of that than Andrew Painter, who is really going through and learning and going through the growing pains of learning at the big league level. And you could see the game wearing on him. What a miserable sport. What a miserable sport. So some other things that did stick out to me tonight. I mentioned Nola. I did think he looked pretty good for Aaron Nola standards, like the modern-day Aaron Nola, where I don't think he can be in the strike zone as much or else he's going to get blasted. So he has to be out of the strike zone and pick his spots when he can go in. Like if you want him to be more in the strike zone and try to be more efficient and generate soft contact, the problem is that there's going to be probably more home runs, because when he makes mistakes in the strike zone, hitters don't miss it. So he has to be more nibbly, I think. And then, Trey left the game with a calf contusion. We'll see what that kind of turns into. I wouldn't have brought him back until Saturday anyway. He did get the three hits. That was good. But I thought he needed a break. I thought he needed a time to step away and and get off his feet for a couple days. Well, maybe this gives them an opportunity. We don't know what the diagnosis is there. We'll see if he's in the lineup on Saturday. Bohm continues to look great. Two doubles, both opposite field. You know, the second one wasn't as impressive as the first one. The first one was a rocket. But continuing to take good swings, continuing to look at, looks like he's trying to lift the baseball, which is good. Looks like he's trying to do hit the ball with authority. He did ground into a double play. I'm not going to make the 6-4-3 joke. We don't need to change the number. He's been too good. So we don't need to make little childlike jokes about his jersey number, even though he did ground into a double play that I couldn't believe he did, because it was a ground ball off the middle that the shortstop had to make a great play on, and he was still out because he is one of the slowest people I've ever seen. But he legitimately looks really good at the plate. And then my biggest takeaway of the game, one of them, is how good Seth Johnson looked. Was that the same guy that I've watched be on the seesaw from Lehigh Valley in here over the last couple of years? I'd heard that they are very pro Seth Johnson and the changes he's made, but to actually see it in person, and you know, Spike had a tweet tonight, and you know, a lot of people have made the similar joke, but when we were growing up, and I like that I can finally kind of say when we were growing up as a 32-year-old, I feel like I've crossed that threshold. But you know, a guy like Joel Zamaya and Luke Nichols is producing the program tonight. Are you aware of the GOAT Joel Zamaya or no?
No, I really wish I was, though, because that's a okay. Great name.
So Joel Zamaya was on the 06 Tigers, and he threw 101, and you would have thought he had to get arrested for witchcraft because he was so disgusting. But he blew his arm out like everyone did that threw 101, and he wasn't the same guy. As you are producing the late shows tonight, I need you to do a deep dive on YouTube of Joel Zamaya.
Joel Zamaya, awesome. All right. I got nothing going on right after this, whoever's coming up after, so I'll just watch highlights then.
Well, the guy coming up next is a total traitor to the city of Philadelphia. But that was like the unicorn. Joel Zamaya, 101. This is unlike anything we've ever seen in baseball. And now Seth Johnson, we all say, is horrible. And he's sitting 99 to 100 with a hammer slider. The game has just changed. It's why whenever anyone bitches about how guys can't hit for average anymore, it's like, do you realize what these guys would do against pitchers back in the day? Miss me with the nonsense that these guys don't know how to hit anymore. They have to be much more selective of when they can unleash on baseballs. And that's not to say the old players couldn't hit in today's game, because in today's game, I think that they would adjust to the modern day. But just the complaining about the averages, these guys are sick. Like, I don't know what to tell you. And it was an impressive Seth Johnson outing. He was in the strike zone. It looks like he fixed his command. He had conviction in his fastball, which is really, really important. And unluckily, I guess, for him, they're in a pretty good spot with the right-handers out there. I mean, Keller is hurt, so this could create an opportunity for him. But Boland's pitching really well. Kirkering's pitching really well. I still feel good about Shugart. I like the stones that Max Lazar pitches with. So they've got a plethora of right-handed options down there. But maybe Seth Johnson could work his way into being something, or a little bit of trade bait. On the other side, we will get to the wow moment of the game, take your phone calls, and give a little look ahead to the weekend against the Mets here on the Final Out on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence, to major breaks in cold cases. We'll follow it all, case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Swung on, hit high in the air. Center field, back towards the angled wall goes Crawford. At the track, at the wall, jumps. He didn't catch it, comes off the wall. Two runs are home. Simeon on his way to third. He'll be there sliding with a triple. And the Mets now have a 6-3 lead.
I was driving my second son around during that time period to try to get him asleep. And the lack of hope in Fransky's voice was just you know, sometimes when the ball's in the air and you're watching it, it feels like it's just never going to come down. That's what it felt listening to Fransky there. I was like, is it ever going to come down? Like, are they going to catch it? Are they going to get out of this inning? No, they weren't. Of course, right after the foul tip that was not called, and the next pitch is a triple off the wall. I do wonder if Crawford could have made a play on that. I couldn't tell if on the replay that it bounced off the wall and then behind him, or if it just he overran it. Marsh also had a dog bleep read in the first inning that allowed the second run to come around. Like, sprinted in way too fast and the ball flew over his head. So not a banner night for those two. But again, to Crawford's credit, I couldn't tell if it bounced off the wall first and then behind him, or if he just overran it, because it kind of looks like on the replay that he just overran it. But regardless, that is our wow moment of the game, brought to you by the New Jersey Division of Travel and Tourism. From waterfalls to fairways, mountain resorts to lighthouse tours, find your wow at visitnj.com. The Simeon triple broke it open. Phil's threatened in the ninth, and I was just begging for a walk-off home run. But nevertheless, we may never see the Phillies ever hit one ever again. And the broadcast was certainly trying to will it into existence, but it was all for naught. No Phillies game tomorrow. On a Friday night, we got World Cup action down at the Link. So, you know, clearing it out for them. Going to be weird, a Friday night without baseball. You don't get that too often. So, at least after opening weekend, where they never play on Friday, if Thursday there's no rain delay or anything. So, no game tomorrow, which means we're back on Saturday and Sunday, and we get two nationally televised games. Of course, the radio team always working hard. They got to work every game. You know, no one just comes in and takes over their booth. So, they're still grinding. But Sanchez versus Peralta. Freddy Peralta has been he's been pretty good this year. Been very Freddy Peralta-esque. He's probably going to get traded unless the Mets kind of go on a miracle run here, as he is a impending free agent. But Chris Sanchez looking to bounce back after that Brewer start that was not his best. So Sanchez versus Peralta on Saturday. And then Sunday, Zach Wheeler versus TBD. The Mets have not announced a starter as of now. So Wheeler facing off against his own team as he is looking to bring his ERA in his first year back from a blood clot and thoracic outlet syndrome to under 2. An absolute horse and an ace in all respects. That's going to do it for me. Broads, the number one Canes fan in the entire world, is coming up next. I'm sure to talk about the parade, his parade route, his big days out in Vegas. I mean, it's summer of Broads. It's summer of Broads. So he's got you next. He will take you through the rest of the night here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.